And finally today...
I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go. If I have to beg, plead for your sympathy, I don't mind.
So it's a cliche, but it's true. They really need no introduction. That is The Temptations, one of the most successful vocal groups ever. A group of young men barely out of their teens started singing together in Detroit, became part of the Motown empire, and eventually became globe-trotting superstars. A new musical now playing at the Kennedy Center tells their story and what it cost them. The musical is called Ain't Too Proud, The Life and Times of the Temptations. The book was written by award-winning playwright and Detroit native Dominique Mauricio. We'll visit with her tomorrow. But the story is based on the memoir and the memories of the co-founder and the sole surviving member of the Temptations, Otis Williams. And he is with us now. Otis Williams, we are so delighted to have you here.
I'm glad to be here and talking with you.
Your group is known for so many things. I mean, your costumes, the vocals, the tight choreography. I was really curious about that. Like, how did that become a thing?
See, at Motown, we had to go to school. By that, I mean, Motown had a division called Artist Development. And we would have to be there at 10 in the morning, 11 in the morning, till 6 in the evening. Motown said, look, we want to show you the correct way of getting on the stage. Then while you're on the stage, you know what you have to do. And then the correct way of coming off the stage. So, okay, that's easy. He said, but here's the kicker. We have to teach you guys how to carry yourself when you're off stage. I said, oh, really? Why? He said, because people know what you do on stage. They want to see how you are when you're not on stage.
I get the impression, both from your memoir, which I've read, and also from the musical, that you were kind of like the father of the group. Do you embrace that?
Well, I've been called the glue. I've had Mr. Gordy to say, you know, Otis and Shelley, and my manager, he's still here, and various people that was very instrumental in the Temptations' career. They said, you know, Otis, if it wasn't for you, there would be no Temptations, because I've always been in the kind of thinking of, let's take care of business, fellas. We can have fun, you know, but we got to be in the studio at a certain time.
But you also kept pushing, even when it was obviously costing you. And I have to wonder whether you ever felt that the price was too high.
No. No, and even in losing the classic Temptations, life goes on. The one thing that's constant in life is change. And sometimes when it's that kind of change, you'll find out what you're made of. You have to stay strong and stay focused. And you can't fall apart because you lose certain things, because life is like that at times. Sometimes that's the only way you can find out what you're really made of.
Well, you know, to that end, though, I mean, I grew up listening to your music, but I didn't grow up with you in the way that some people who grew up with you knew this story. I did not remember or realize just how much pain you did go through. I mean, losing Paul Williams, mm-hmm. who developed a serious health problem, alcohol problem, and then later took his own life. And then David Ruffin developed drug problems, and then Eddie Kendrick died of lung cancer. That had to have been awful for you, frankly. I mean, these were your best friends. And I just have to ask, you think it was bad luck? Or why do you think it is it's like a Shakespearean tragedy, really, to be honest with you?
Yeah, but I don't think it's bad luck. I just think that's part of life. You know, sometimes we choose our own way of doing certain things. And a lot of times that's not a good thing, especially when you can start, you know, the drinking and the alcohol, the drugs, you know. I've always stayed focused, you know, and not to say that I'm a saint, you know, because I mean, I had my fun, but I learned about myself that as a governor of me, I would see certain artists, friends of mine, do certain things, and I would look at them and say, nah, I'm not doing that.
What's it like watching the play for you, watching the musical for you, where you're seeing both the highs?
Yeah.
And the lows, like, for example, losing your son who died young, I mean, as in a construction accident. I mean, what's that like watching that?
Well, it was emotional. I sat there and I was moved to tears, you know, because I'm saying, wow, I lived through all that. Never had any idea that when we started singing that we would be going through a lot of craziness, being baptized in fire by certain aspects of life. You know, so to see my play in a different perspective, it was touching. And I'm glad that I felt it that way, because when they come to see the play, I don't want them to think just, oh, the temps dancing and singing and that's it. No, no, no. We were shot at down south. I never will forget. We were in Columbia, South Carolina, the first time we went there in 1964 doing a Motown Review tour. They had a rope right down the center of the auditorium. Whites on one side, blacks on the other. We came back to that same place the following year. No rope. Blacks and whites sitting side by side, high-fiving, enjoying the show. And if it wasn't for the sweat that we were perspiring from dancing and singing, they would have seen five guys on stage crying. The power of what music can do.
You got a smile so bright. You know you could have been a candle. I'm holding you so tight. You know you could have been a handle. The way you swept me off the field.
In the musical, it makes the point that as artists, perhaps you would have liked to have had more to say about the times, but that you were not encouraged to do so. I mean, the musical makes the point that you were sort of told, stay in your lane, as it were. You do have one of the great, you know, I don't know if you want to call it protest songs, one of the great ones of the era, but how do you feel about that now? I mean, as now, you know, we have a moment where, you know, artists are extremely outspoken. Many of them are. And I, especially in genres that serve diverse audiences, and particularly African-Americans, it's almost expected. And if you don't, people feel like there's something wrong with you.
Well,
I wonder now, like, how do you feel about that?
Oh, I feel great about that. You know, they can speak out about it very openly. But, you know, back then, during that time, the way we would get back at them is through the music. And then there were times when we would say that we did not like this. Give you a case in point. Ole Miss in Mississippi, Archie Manning was the big time quarterback. So we were going to play there. We got there early. And as we were standing there watching them get everything ready for us to perform, black folks came down and they wanted to sit right down front. Man, the temptations here, we're going to be sitting down front. But they didn't have the tickets to sit there. So when the white folks came, it almost became, a nasty situation. So Eddie Kendricks and myself, we walked out and we had the guys to turn the microphone on and we said, hey, look, please, don't do this. We came here to perform for everybody. Let's not have an ugly situation. You know the most amazing thing? Black folks went and sat. Now, they weren't in the back. They were just on the side and white folks sat down in front. But the most thing, important thing that I learned as we walked away from the microphone, we said, wow. We only entertainers, but they listened and we stopped a possible nasty situation. So we had our moments of speaking out about don't do this, this is wrong. And so I never will forget moments like that. And that was like during the 60s when, it really was crazy.
Childhood part of my life wasn't very pretty. See, I was born and raised in the slums of the city. It was a one-room shack that slept in another chair beside me. We hardly had enough food or room to sleep.
Why do you think the music of the Temptations still endures? You know, I don't know that you really, I think it might be in the Constitution you can't have a wedding without playing a Motown song or the Temptations in particular. I think it might be in the law here.
Motown's music, Tim's music, however you want to paraphrase it. When I listen at the My Girls, when I listen at What's Going On, last night at the party, I was sitting there listening to Stevie Signed, Sealed, Delivered, I'm Yours. That music was so profoundly effective, but you don't realize it until years later. Everybody can identify with it or relate to it to some extent, and it's just the kind of music that make you say, wow, I lived through that. I love that music. It would bring all kind of memories. Now, I'll tell you something that let me know that the importance of the Temptations. I often get a lot of fan mail. So this one particular day, I got a fan mail, and I'm sitting reading it. And when I opened it up, it started off, Mr. Williams, since you get this, would you please call me? My mother would like to talk to you. So I call. I say, hi, this is Otis Williams. I'm responding to your letter. And the daughter said, Mr. Williams, hold on, let me get my mother. So I'm sitting there. Mother came to the phone, and first thing came out of her mouth was, I asked God not to take me until I talked to Otis Williams. How do you see anything behind that? And she said, let me tell you what you guys meant to me in my life and the music that you made. And as she's telling me all this, I'm sitting there and, tears running down my eyes. And after she finished, she said, now God can take me. I asked him, don't take me till I talk to Otis Williams. So when she hung up and we hung up, I sat there and I said, wow. So I've had moments like that, which lets me know that the music that we have made and continue to make, oh, it has such a profound effect on people, just depending on the person or the people.
That is Otis Williams of The Temptations. The musical Ain't Too Proud, The Life and Times of The Temptations, tells the story of the group from Otis Williams' perspective. It's playing now at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. Otis Williams, it has truly been an honor. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
My pleasure, darling. My pleasure.